Dr. Abbasi, how are you?
I'm good, Tony. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Thanks so much for being with us. And tell us, what is your role at Michigan State University?
I'm an assistant clinical professor in psychiatry department, and I also work with student health at the Olin Health Center.
Now, when we were talking about learning the art of coexistence and resilient in America in during conflicting times, it got me to thinking, I guess we never look at the other side, at the challenges that Muslims may have dealing with the prejudices and the stresses and strains of living here in America. Talk about that.
Let me give you an example of the Congressman King's hearing recently. The idea that it started, why Muslims are radicalized. I think segregation and separation is good politics, but it's not a good policy. Muslims are not a new phenomenon. There are Muslims who have been here for three generations now. Their kids, this is their country. And when they hear, like, it's time to go back, where do they go back to? So I am seeing a lot of increase in anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress disorder. Some of them feel threatened. Some felt that they have to separate and hide their identity. That's why I think this conference is dealing with both the sides, how to come together. Because the truth is, our lives are intertwined, interdependent. And if we talk about security, there is no such thing as individual security. We have a shared security. We share a country. We share a common goal. And it's important that we come together to work for the betterment of this country instead of isolating and living in separate corners.
Abdamaji Katranji, the physician who works here in mid-Michigan, is the spokesperson for the Islamic Society of Greater Lansing. We've had him on the program many times. And it seems the challenge that many Americans have is the fact that there are some Muslims who will not differentiate being Muslim versus, I guess, not supporting radical Islam. And there are some who are high-profile Muslims who don't disassociate themselves from radical Islam. Do you see that as still as a challenge?
I had from Duke University, I had David Schenzer, who's from Triangle Homelands, like he does homeland security consultation. He came and presented on the fact that why we do not still have homegrown terrorism to that extent. The fact is, his studies show that the majority of Muslims living here are peace-loving. 80-90% are who identify with American identity, who work for the American goals and American dreams. This is a new phenomena that's growing, is that I see, but the fact is that the separation is coming from both sides. And the disillusionment, the miscommunication, we spend so much time talking about each other. I think it's important we talk to each other, have a dialogue, communicate, and a lot of this misunderstandings and doubts and fears will go away once we sit down and have a dialogue.
Well, I know that dialogue is important, but from what we hear, Dr. Abbasi, is that not enough high-profile Muslims step forward and say publicly that they do not support radical Islam, that they do not support terrorism. Do you think that that is a necessary function for any Muslim?
I would say this is the loudest scream that nobody is listening to. I mean, I myself feel like I'm going hoarse for the last 10 years trying to say this. All of us are saying this. The fact that you do not see so much unrest here in this country, I mean, you can see that we still are under the spotlight. We still anything goes. Like, have you seen how much the crime rate here in Michigan is? Have you ever heard that any other crime is associated with the religion of the perpetrator? Here, the problem is, even if someone has, I would say, hit a car or is an accident, the most important thing becomes like, oh, was he a convert or is he a Muslim? So I do agree that religion for Muslims is a very integral part of their lives. So it's not a very hidden, our religion is not hidden. We have to, in Islam, you have to believe, you have to practice, and you have to ingrain it in your life. But the truth is that each one of us, that's why you have so many people in the community trying to communicate and have an interfaith dialogue. The fact is that Islam means peace, and anyone who calls themselves a Muslim is bearer of that peace. And anyone who's doing contrary to that act is not a Muslim. That is a simple fact.
But the question is, do you think that it should be put upon people like you to step forward and say, I do not support radical Islam. I do not support terrorism.
I do not support radical Islam. I do not support terrorism. Definitely.
Do you think it's your role to have to say that publicly?
I am, and I have been saying that publicly. To me, there is no such thing as radical Islam. I do not believe, we do not as a community support any radicalism. If you come and talk to any person who has been standing up and taking this role, that is the initial point. That is the point that we are starting the dialogue from, that we do not support this radicalization.
Dr. Farha Abbasi is the person at the forefront for a special conference this weekend on Muslim mental health. It's called Accept, Learning the Art of Coexistence and Resilience in Conflicting Times. The keynote address will be given by Dr. Juan Cole, and he is going to be talking about going beyond Islamophobia. Dr. Abbasi, for people who want more information about this weekend's conference, how do they get that?
I would go to Michigan State Psychiatry Department website and click on the conferences, and it will take you to the link to register. Or my email is there. My contact number is there as well.
Dr. Abbasi, I appreciate your time. As someone who is a person of color, I have seen prejudice from both sides. It seems like it's been with us forever. There are challenges for all of us to try and get through. And I think your conference will address some of that this weekend.
I appreciate your thoughts, Tony, and giving me this chance. Thank you.